Today, what I'm going to do, we're going to do a follow-up message. Remember, we named the year Time to Soar in 2024, right? So I want to just kind of encourage us to how to soar above our circumstances, all the things that kind of go on in life that we have to deal with. And, you know, we do live in a world where not everybody loves us, right? The devil, he don't like us very good. But what happens sometimes is that you and I, we get bound up by trying to hold on to things in our life that we need to give over to God. So we hold on to these things, and sometimes it's a comfort thing. We're so used to these things that they're so much a part of our life that sometimes we're afraid to maybe let go of these things. And what they do is these things that I'm talking about hold us back from getting to the place where God wants us to be in life. God has a plan for our life. Each and every person here, God has a plan for your life. And our job is to try to fall in line and try to find out what that plan is that God has for our life, and then to be able to walk in that plan. And we're only going to find liberty when we learn how to let go of our past failures. We all have failed, right? We all have failed at least once in our life. And so we need to understand the fact that those failures, we cannot let them define us, but we need to let those failures refine us. Amen? To help us to get to a different place and knowing. I know there's a lot of things in my life that I wouldn't do again. You know what I'm saying? I just wouldn't go there again because there's no life there. So we just kind of learn from those. So it all comes by the old saying, let go and let God. Some things we just have to let go of. And when you let go, you have to open your hands, right? Sometimes when we hand something over to God, we say, here, God. God says, let go of it. I am. No, you're not. We're still holding on to that thing. Maybe in the back of our mind, maybe in the bottom of our heart, but somewhere in our life, we're holding on to that thing. Scripture we're going to look at, hopefully it's very familiar, is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 to 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful, for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us to worship you. We thank you for this special stirring in each of our hearts, Lord. We know that there's more out there. We know that you have more for each of our lives. Lord, we want to find out what that is. We want to tap into that. We want to grab a hold of it. Lord, we just want to be a part of what you're doing. Lord, right now, we just let go of those things that hold us back. And Lord, I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray through words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips in Jesus' name. Amen. So, first point I want to look at, and we looked at this way back in January. Some of you all remember back that far, right? You know, maybe not. But talking about removing limitations and inhibitions in our life. Limitations and inhibitions. So this is the word that the Lord gave me in January for this year a little bit. It kind of deals, you know, in my life. You know, I didn't know I had too many of these, but evidently I do, or I did. And it was time to deal with some of those. So sometimes when people look at things, you know, they say, oh, you know, I must have limitations and inhibitions, so it drags you down. But to me, that word excited me because, you know, not because I have those things, because I wanted to get free from them, and God was going to help me do that. Because I have this simple philosophy, the freer I am in God, the more of a threat I am to the devil and his kingdom. Amen? Fear holds us back. Anxiety holds us back. All these different things working in our life sometimes keep us from stepping out. And more so, stepping in to what God has for our life. See, we need to step into it. God has it there, but we have to do something to get into it, okay? So it's exciting knowing what God is going to do. Now, to get to the next level with God, we must be willing to let go of things that hold us back. So we need to take an inventory in our life. Simple as that. I mean, I don't know if you ever do that, but I do periodically take inventory of my life. Because so many times, it's so easy because things creep in, don't they? Things in life, you know, just like, you know, if you don't make a schedule for your day, somebody else will, right? Some emergency will take up your time. But if you have a plan, then you can follow the plan that you feel you're supposed to be instead of reacting to everybody else's plan. And it's like that, take an inventory in your life. You know, what's going on good in my life? What's maybe not going on so good? So what can I do about these things? How can I do more of this and less of this? How can I let go of this but really grab hold of this? See, those are just practical, everyday life decisions that you and I make. Now, granted, some decisions are out of our control, you know, because of work and different things going on. But, you know, a lot of times, you know, we like to hold on to that old stuff because we're familiar. It's kind of like an old security blanket. You know, one of my kids had a security blanket when they were growing up. And it was a little, we called it a burp rag. It was a little cloth diaper. And it started out full size. But then towards the end, it was just threads. And it was hard to get them to want to let go of that. It was something, and it kind of got, we tried to wash it, but it got to the place you couldn't wash it anymore. Unless you hand washed it, because if you ran through the washing machine, it'd just end up like some of your socks would be gone, right? It was just threads. And it would, you know, if you didn't clean it, it would get all stinky and smelly, you know what I'm saying? And just look bad. And then, but yet, there's something about just holding on to that. Now, there was no anointing on that thing. There was nothing special about that little piece of cloth. It was this something that was so common to them that it brought security. I'm not going to tell you what ended up in the end because I was probably be considered a bad dad. Okay, yes, I did. I started a fire and I burned it. I burned it.
You had her.
Oh, did I have her burn it? Okay, now you just told which kid it was. Yeah, but anyway, so I was trying to keep it anonymous. But anyway, you know, and so it was tough. It was tough love. I know that. Looking back, maybe it wasn't the best idea. It worked out, though. But anyway, you know, but that's what it is like in life when we hold on to some of these things because that's just, you know, where we're at. But see, God will take us where we're at, but then he'll take us to where he wants us to be. We got to be willing to take that journey. That exciting journey, and sometimes change is hard, sometimes growth is hard. But it's the best thing that we could ever do is to take that journey and trust, start to trust. Just start to trust our Heavenly Father. You know, and we need to get to that place. And you know, like I said, it's hard to grab a hold of a new thing when our hands are full of the old things. And see, that's maybe what God is waiting for some of us in our life, is that God wants to put something new in our hand, but our hands are full. And we need to let go of some things. And you know right now, I believe the Holy Spirit may be speaking to a few of you some things that you can maybe let go of. See, we serve a limitless God, and we must not be ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God of salvation. See, our God is limitless. There's nothing that God cannot do. And we need to be able to walk in the power of that anointing and the things that God has for us. And it's not going to be done for us automatically. There's certain things in life that God... See, God gives us grace, but then he wants us to respond in faith. And then we step out in those things, and then we start to take that territory, that new territory that he has for us. So we need to step up and do that. Now, all of us have some problems in life. You know, I like to call some of it spiritual gravity. You know, in the natural world, we have gravity that we must overcome, either to gain flight or to remain in flight, right? You know, I'm vertically challenged at my height. I have never dunked a basketball, and the odds are I probably never will. You know, I am, gravity just is a bummer. It holds us back. Well, it's like that in the spiritual realm too. There's a spiritual gravity, things that try to hold us down and keep us from soaring, keep us from, you know, being able to achieve the great things that God has for us. You know, all these things are trying to hold us back and hold us down. Don't step out. Don't go out there and be bold. You know, play it safe. Stay in here. Stay with the crowd. You know, don't make waves. You know, all these things come in there. And what happens is that you and I each have this, so don't beat yourself up for it. We all have it. Each and every one of us have these things. I call them limiting beliefs. We all have limiting beliefs, whether we want to accept it or not. You know, a limiting belief is a stronghold in our life that is not true, but we believe it is. It's a belief in our life that is not true, but we deep inside believe that it's true. It's our truth. And those limiting beliefs will keep us hemmed in. It's kind of like a prison, and hold us back, you know, from things that we want to do, new things, you know, that God has for us. And we all have these working in our life to some extent, so don't let the devil lie to you and say, oh, you got those and so don't, because everybody has one. Everybody has a limiting belief. None of us here are perfect. None of us here have everything all figured out and put together. I mean, can we all just be humble and admit that, right? We all have that. So it's something that we're all in the same boat, but all our limiting beliefs may be a little bit different. They might vary in some ways, and that's why we can help each other. Somebody may have a limiting belief in this area, but not in this area, but as they come together with a group of other believers with like precious faith, you know, iron sharpens iron, we rub off on each other and we help each other, and that helps us to overcome, you know, some of these limiting beliefs. Because what happens is when you and I hold on to a lie for a long time, that becomes our truth. That becomes our truth, even though it's a lie. And when that lie becomes our truth, we end up living that lie out. And then what happens is our brain is really miraculous, isn't it? The neurology in our brain and how it works, but one thing about it, our brain is used to patterns of thinking, okay? Once you start thinking about, and this was kind of first revealed to me when I did a study, and somehow an email or something came across and talked about how some people get hooked on pornography. And you've maybe heard me tell this story before, but you know, our brain, it's kind of like, I was raised on a farm, and the old cows would walk through the field, and they'd make a path, and they'd stay on that same path, and before you know it, they could have a pathway dug in about that deep. And they don't seem to hurt anything until you cross them with a four-wheeler. You know what I mean? It's really a jostle you. But see, our brain is like that. Once our brain is used to taking a certain path and thinking a certain way, it's almost second-hand knowledge just to go that way. And it becomes such a part of our life. So we have to change the way we think. Just as simple as that. It can be done, but it takes a little bit of effort and resistance on our part to do so. Because we're so used to thinking a certain way, and we need to be able to break that mold and to be able to break that pattern. And, you know, when we believe that lie, it just becomes so easy. So what are some limiting lies that we develop and we live with over life? I'm going to just name a few. Number one of them could be, God will never answer my prayer. Maybe you've prayed for something and it didn't get answered in the way or the time frame that you wanted. And so over a time, you develop this thought. You still pray because you're supposed to, right? Has anybody just prayed because you're supposed to? You know, but you didn't really think anything was going to happen? Am I the only one? Huh? You know, so you pray, but you know in the past it just didn't seem like your prayers got answered. So you just deep down inside you think, well, God's never going to answer this prayer. Another limiting belief is the fact that we feel less than greater than. You know, meaning I'm not good enough. You know, maybe you've been told your whole life that you're just not good enough. Maybe it showed up in different areas of your life, and now you've started to buy into that thinking that I'm just not good enough. And so then your perspective on life, you live through that thinking. Another might be is that maybe you have some marriage issues. You know, I'll never have a good marriage. Maybe you've had some toughness in your marriage. Maybe just maybe you're not very good at picking. You know what I'm saying? Some people ain't very good pickers. You know, but still, that's just the way it is. You know, so, you know, maybe you just kind of feel you're never going to have a good marriage. You're doomed to that, but that can be turned around. Next is, why bother with relationships? Because I always get hurt. So then you don't let people get close to you because you've been hurt in life. So you always keep them just a little bit away. You know what I'm saying? Then lastly, this is kind of a weird one, but maybe you're an intellectual and you think, I'm too smart to believe in all that God stuff. Maybe you're more of a science guy or gal and you think you got it all figured out. That's a limiting belief. Because when you push God out of the equation, there is no answer. There is no answer. So, now I want to look at the next point, talking about the difference between strongholds and a strong tower. Limiting belief is like a stronghold, but we're going to go into it just a little bit deeper here to figure out some things. Now, a stronghold, like a limiting belief, is a pattern of wrong thinking. And how I like to explain them is the fact that a stronghold gets developed over time, and it's several different lies that you start to believe, and then they get woven together, and then they're strong. They become stronger, and they have a hold on our life. And what happens is that several lies get woven together in the fabric of our mind, and that's what develops that stronghold. And so it becomes a pattern of thinking, a pattern of believing, because strongholds develop over time and systematically become our way of life. We start to think that way. We start to live that way. And it becomes a worldview, like you've all heard that word before. The worldview is a way that we perceive the world around us, right? We all have a worldview. One way might be looking at, some people might be Democrat, some might be Republican. So you interpret the world around you according to those two frames of thought. And you see and interpret all that. You can look at the same information, but you're going to see it differently because of your worldview. We all have one, and it's developed by different patterns of thinking. So we live our life based on that, and worldview can be a bias. And so, meaning that we live our lives based on this vantage point. Now, two people can be standing in the same spot right beside each other, and you can be looking at a situation at the same thing. One person is going to see nothing but problem, while the other person is going to see nothing but opportunity. Like, some people can look at an old rundown house, piece of junk. Another person can look at it, fixer-upper, I could double my money. Same spot, looking at the same house, but they see it through different eyes. And see, that's how we are. We look at things based on our perspective. We all have it. So we can change our perspective through the Word of God, and we're going to look at that here in a minute. But I just want us to see that, you know, that's why we are like we are. We're a byproduct of our thought processes. Correct? We act out what we think. So that's why we can make some changes, some course direction and changes in our life. Just like if you're out in a boat going across the ocean, you might be heading off a little bit, but you just turn that boat a little bit, you can get right back on track. Right where you need to be, you just got to turn that rudder a little bit, and you can get right back where you need to be. Every one of us needs a course correction from time to time. Because we're all a little bit off, right?
Yep.
We're all just a little off, half a bubble out of plumb maybe, I don't know, from time to time. But see, we can, you know, make a difference by just trying to do that. And that comes by, you know, not isolating ourselves, but allowing ourselves to be around people of like precious faith. That's why we really stress small groups. Hey, we can learn from anybody. And something they say may really make an impact on us. So it's the difference is the idea is of that we need to see a potential in things instead of a problem. So instead of being bound up by these strongholds, you know, Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. Okay, a strong tower. I believe Cutlass has a song about this. I'm sure there's others, but that's an old one that I used to remember. But, you know, being in a strong tower changes our vantage point. A tower, like it said, you're getting up a little higher, right? You get a different perspective. You know, that's why, you know, when you're just looking at things at eye level, and then you get above the situation, you start to look down on it, you get a different perspective of what's really happening there, right? You can kind of start to see the big picture. That's why at these sporting games, up in the press box, some of the offensive and defensive coordinators, they like to set up high because they can look down on the field and they can see different plays, the pattern of what might work and what may not work, right? Different perspective, different vantage point. And so it's like us in life, is that we can run to that strong tower and we can start to interpret the world around us based on God's vantage point. Because God sees things a lot different than you and I do. And so we start to see and look at the world around us based on a place of safety and security. When we feel safe and secure, it takes a lot of the apprehension and all the things out of life that maybe cause us to make bad decisions. You know, just think about this for a minute. Have you ever made a bad decision because you're under pressure? They're pressuring you to make a decision right now. You got to make this decision right now, right now. And you feel, oh. But see, when we feel that we're in God's vantage point, and we got the peace of God, well, it makes all the difference. And as we need to remember is that it says there in that 2 Corinthians 10 is that we live in the flesh, but we fight by the Spirit. We need to remember that. You and I all live in the flesh. We all have these bodies. Yeah, you about got to have one. You do have to have one. If you're going to operate on this planet, you don't have a body, you're out of here, right? You have to have one of these. So with this thing comes some carnality, some things that you and I have to overcome due to the sin of Adam being passed down to us in the carnal nature that's inherited through the flesh and the carnality of life, the world that we live in. Those are things we all have to overcome. So what it is you and I, we know the enemy, the devil, he's out there. And, you know, what we need to see is the fact that it's our responsibility to cast down those lies from the devil. That wrong thinking, that wrong way of looking at life, it's up to us to cast those down. And the Bible says there we compare them to the knowledge of Christ. Well, how do you know the knowledge of Christ? Well, that means we have to know what the Bible says a little bit, right? You know, before I got saved, I thought I knew what the Bible said. I had some wrong thinking about the Bible. You know, some misunderstandings, misinterpretation. But see, as you start to read the Bible and you start to get into God's Word and you can do a little bit each day and before you know it, you're starting to get that stuff inside of you. Well, then all of a sudden now, when you're looking at situations and circumstances, you don't just look at them through your own eyes, but you're starting to see them through, well, this is what the Word says. This is what God says about this situation. Amen? Well, then that changes everything. So who are we going to believe? Here's where the rubber meets the road. Are we going to believe what God says? Or are we going to go by what we feel? Right? Most times we go by what we feel. I don't know about you, but feelings lie. I like good feelings. But there's some feelings that are wrong. And they lead us in the wrong direction. But God's word will never, ever lead us astray. Never. And it's just going to come to a point in our life when we draw the line in the sand and saying, bless God, I'm going to go with what the word says. I don't care that I don't feel it yet. Just like forgiveness. I know somebody, you know, has been wronged. Big time. Big time. But we have to forgive. Not for their benefit. It's for our benefit. Forgiveness does not let them off the hook. Forgiveness frees us from that feeling. Because the Bible says if we have unforgiveness, it gives the devil an advantage. How many know we should not give the devil any advantages in our life? I mean, he's been around a long time. He has a lot of tricks. Not to mention he's invisible, right? So in order for us to win the battle, and most of it's in our mind, then we're going to have to learn how to let go of some of these things that are holding us in bondage. And like I said, it's our responsibility. So to get free, we need to know the truth. You know, remember Jesus? You remember him, right? Remember in the Bible when that Satan, you know, Jesus went out and was fasted for 40 days, and then he was being tempted by the devil. See, the devil waited 40 days to kind of, and then he started hitting him with the big stuff. That's what he does. Is all of a sudden, boom, boom, boom. That's how he does for you and I. All of a sudden, we'll be going along good, then all of a sudden, boom, 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 we're hit from different directions, right? Several different things going on in our life. And Satan was tempting Jesus in the sense, hey, I give you all this stuff, man. It's been given to me because of the fall of Adam, is really how it worked out. Jesus, he could have said, hey, I'm the Son of God, get out of here. He said, no, he didn't do it. He didn't play that card. He played the it is written card. It is written. He quoted the word when he was under attack. Very simple revelation there, folks. When we get under attack is when we need to quote the word more. Amen? It is written. Beat back the devil. And the devil, he has to flee. Amen? As we resist him. So, our strong tower and our weapons are connected to God's word. That's just how it works. If you look at Ephesians 6, we're not going to look at that today. But talking about, you know, the armor of God, all those things are interwoven, you know, with the word of God. So that's why we need to get to the place in our life that we're willing to let go and let God. Let go and let God. What is holding you back today? What do you feel is an obstacle in your life today? Can you let go of that? Can you give that over to God? Aren't you getting tired of carrying that thing? Some of those things are heavy, aren't they? So heavy, such a burden. That's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. You know, we get hooked up with him. So the last point I want to look at today is the idea of learn to live with less. Learn to live with less. Now, you and I were made to soar. That's the very, we were created in the image of God, and God has called us to live with world-overcoming faith. That's what he's given us. And it's a battle. We're in this battle down here. All these things are going on. But we were made to soar above all those things. It's like an eagle. Isn't it so majestic if you watch an eagle with their arms just extended, or their arms, but their wings just extended, and they're just letting the currents just rise them up. They don't even have to flap. They just let the currents just carry them higher. And that's what God has for you and I. That we're made to soar over all these problems, to be able to overcome those things and not let those things, you know, drag us down. But I'll tell you, it's hard to soar if we've got all this baggage. Remember, just picture that eagle soaring through the ground. Now put that same eagle on the ground and tie a 100-pound weight to his leg. Do you think that eagle could get off the ground? I don't think so. Because he has extra baggage. And see, it's extra baggage that stops us from soaring in our life. And that poor eagle will be doomed to a life on the ground while all the time it was made to soar if he doesn't get rid of that baggage. And that's the way it is with us. So how do we live with less? What do we live with less? First, we need to live with less stress. Stress is a bummer, isn't it? Stress exhausts us spiritually, physically, and mentally. Now, we all have a certain level of stress. I know we all have to deal with, we live in a real world, we have to deal with real things. We've got deadlines, we got people we're dealing with, all these things. But being the smart people that we are, we need to try to manage that stress. And basically, it sounds simple, don't get stressed out. Don't let it stress you. Learn different techniques, learn different ways. Because believe me, people, when you're stressed out, it's going to affect you spiritually. It's going to affect your relationships. It's going to affect your health, your sleep, all these things. So one goal would be to live with less stress. So how can we live with less stress? What do we got to do? I'm not going to tell you. You figure that out, right? Google it. No, I'm just kidding. Using the Word of God will help. Number two, live with less fear. Fear is a problem. Fear keeps us in a cage. Fear keeps us isolated from other people. Fear will cause us not to step out. All these things. Fear is something that we have to deal with. So, like I said, all these things I'm looking at are a feeling. Now, I'm sorry to be so robotic about this, I know, but feelings lie. Like I say, feeling's just a feeling, people, and feelings change. And I really believe, within reason, feelings can be managed, right? Let's just say you're having a problem in your marriage. Anybody got that problem right now? Raise your hand. No, I'm just kidding. Let's all keep it covert. Like I've always told this on myself, whenever I get irritated at my wife, I mean at least once in my life, I use the word. I keep telling myself, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. I keep saying that over and over in my head, even though she's irritated me. It's hard to believe, she's such a nice person, but she can be a little irritating every now and then, can't you? A little bit, yeah. Just like all of us. Just think what she has to say about living with me. You know, I am irritating, I know that. I'm going to be hard to live with. But see, I use the word because it's just a feeling, it's just a thought. I know it's a lie, I know she's a good person, I know I love her. But it's just right now, this feeling is trying to control my thoughts. And if you let that feeling go unchecked, then let that feeling come out of your mouth. And you say something you shouldn't have said, and the fur gets to flying, right? So, feelings we need to try to keep them in check and hold them back. Another feeling, anger. Anger is when we get a bad attitude. We need to live with less anger because it's not worth it. And lastly, pride. Pride causes us to look down on others and not look up to God. And we need to learn how to deal with pride in our life. We all can have it. So, we all have these weapons that God has given us to live a victorious life. And the Bible says they're divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That word fortresses, again, is strongholds. So the strongholds, this pattern of thinking that's wrong, God said he has given us these weapons. And like I said, you can look at Ephesians 6 and talking about the armor of God, all these things. But basically it gets into getting into the Word of God and allowing God's Word to come into our life and change us, transform us, you know, help us to see that we can live and God has a better life for us. And we do that, it says, to take every thought captive. How long do you have to do that? Well, till you get them captive. Because we can't control what thoughts come into our mind totally, but you control how long they live there. Right? You may have a bad thought, but just don't think on it. Right? Don't think on that thought. Just cast it out and say, that's a lie from the devil. Start thinking about something else. And that's how we do that. We just start to take them thoughts captives. And, you know, the fact is we need to fight to be free. But in doing that, we got to remember we're not alone in this fight. God's with us every step of the way. God didn't leave us hanging. Remember, he's our strong tower, and we fight right along God's side. The greater one that is in me is greater than he is in the world. We have God living inside of us, and he's working in our life, and you know we just need to work with him. And so we need to go to that strong tower. Every time things start to go wrong, usually it's because we're looking at it wrong. And then so we got to get to that tower so we can start to get God's perspective. So that can change our perspective. Because when we change our perspective, we're going to change our actions. We're going to change our responses. Amen? And get start walking that victory. So we need to do it by letting go and letting God. Meaning, let go of those things that are holding us down from soaring. Whatever is in your life, maybe you're a workaholic. Maybe you feel your identity is tied with work. Your identity needs to be tied with Christ. Let go of that. So we need to let God take control. And by surrendering to him, it takes that act of humility. I got the three H's now in closing. Hang, hold, and help. Hang in there. Don't give up. Hold on to the promises of God. And lastly, help is on the way. Hang, hold, and help. Don't give up. You got this. You can handle this. You know, like you say, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on. Just keep on going and hold on to the promises. You know, the things that God says, and then, you know, God's going to help us, people. He's not going to leave us hanging. Amen? Amen. Let's close in prayer.